From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, your source for the latest news and commentary on all the issues you care about most, family, freedom, and life, providing you with updates on the latest happenings from our nation's capital as well as our state capital right here in Lincoln, where I am broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio. And our state legislature has almost reached the halfway point of this year's session. And on today's program, I'll be joined by a state senator who will give us an update on what our state senators have been up to, as well as talking about the most important pro-life initiative this year, Title 10, which is a federal grant program that right now is currently subsidizing the abortion industry in Nebraska. There is language proposed by our governor in the state budget being debated by senators that has the opportunity to change that, provide some clarity and accountability to make sure that those taxpayer dollars are not being used for abortion and creating some separation of funds so that the clinics who provide more services and aren't performing abortions can receive more of that money instead of abortion providers, which are currently the number one recipient of those taxpayer funds. And as the governor has said, Nebraska is a pro-life state and our budget should reflect those values. And this gives us the opportunity to do just that. We'll also talk about a bill that has been introduced to provide accountability within the legislature itself, as well as how you and we all can help state senators who are fighting to safeguard conservative and family values in our state unicameral. Joining me this week to provide an update on the latest from the Nebraska legislature is one of the good guys, Nebraska State Senator John Keene, representing District 38 from out in central Nebraska. Senator, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Nate. It's great to join you.
Senator, we've almost reached the halfway point of this session, which is hard to believe. Can you give us sort of the latest from what's been happening in our unicameral?
Yeah, right now we're quickly coming along with the midpoint of our short session. So we're at a 60 legislative day session. We're starting the process of winding down on our committee hearing and committee processes. So we just have a couple of weeks left of afternoon committee hearings before we wind those up here the end of February. And then beginning the 1st of March, we move into all-day floor sessions and floor debate. So that really important public input process where each and every bill receives its public hearing is soon drawing to a close. And now we'll see advancing to the floor primarily priority bills, either those bills which have been established as a priority and received that designation by an individual senator, or the two bills that each standing committee gets to designate as a priority, really taking the center stage of our daily debates and discussion in the legislature.
Senator Keene, you also are a member of our State Appropriations Committee, which is arguably the most important committee because you have to deal with the state budget, which is sort of the number one issue and drawing a lot of attention. What is your perception of the type of budget that will be advanced from committee and debated by the full legislature? There's been a lot of talk about the cuts that are necessary, and I'd love to hear, as a committee member, what you think the budget is going to end up looking like.
Well, I think, you know, we're definitely going to be advancing a budget that demonstrates spending restraint. With regard to our current revenue picture, our revenue forecasts have continued to be downgraded over the last 3 years. So the normal processing in state government assumes that every penny of revenue that comes in is going to be spent. And one of the presumptions is that that revenue is going to continue to grow at a very specific and a relatively high rate. What we have seen in the recent years is that the growth of that revenue has not matched what was projected several years ago. So that's what has created what many people refer to as the revenue shortfall. That revenue shortfall then has led us as a committee To make strategic reductions to some of the budgets of different state agencies to meet Nebraska's constitutional requirement that we have a balanced budget. And for Nebraskans and for the integrity of our state government, that's a good thing. But to meet that balanced budget, that's required some strategic look at all state spending and asking all state agencies and everyone who spends state taxpayer dollars to take a critical look at where they're spending those dollars and ultimately whether it is in some agencies freezing their budget and others are looking at across the board cuts. So reductions of 2% in this year and 4% in the next year to their operations or making those strategic reductions. At the same time, some very important state priorities, for example, child welfare, have seen increased need and increased utilization. So we're putting additional resources behind those critical functions of state government to ensure that our vulnerable citizens are protected as well. So while there's a lot of focus and attention on cuts and reductions, this budget is really gonna show a prioritization of what Nebraskans value the most and is going to reflect those priorities.
Well, we're certainly grateful to have senators who are able to both demonstrate that fiscal restraint, but also prioritize where the needs are greatest and represent the values that Nebraskans share. And one of those values, Senator, that drew a lot of attention and controversy recently was the Title X issue, which was also before the Appropriations Committee. This is a major pro-life initiative being spearheaded by the governor that ensures that our tax dollars are not being used to subsidize abortion through Title X. Now, you heard a committee hearing specifically on this issue, and it actually looked like during this hearing, there was an audit that was brought forward that was conducted of abortion providers in Nebraska that showed there were some discrepancies in spending. What did you make of that during that hearing?
Right. We look to our state auditor of public accounts to provide that important verification step to ensure that state dollars are being used in a legal fashion as well as intended. And what emerged in that hearing, which underscored the very important need for that language that has been introduced by the governor as part of our budget package that would restrict and prevent Title X funds from going to organizations that provide abortion as well as referrals for abortion-related services, really was highlighted by a 2015 audit report from our state auditor of public accounts. And what that found was that in auditing the agencies that provide abortion services that also receive Title X funds, there were significant financial discrepancies. There was a significant lack of accounting controls that ensured that the dollars were being directed towards Title X services and not abortion services. In fact, in looking at the actual verification of how some of those dollars had been spent during the 2015 fiscal year, it was apparent that there had been dollars which had been inappropriately used for the purposes of services and services around providing abortions. And so what we really have identified is a very important need to have absolute clarity and separation of Title X dollars from organizations and establishments that perform abortion services. So the value of this particular budget language truly underscores the integrity of those Title X dollars.
Well, it seems almost common sense that this is needed because what you just highlighted, those discrepancies in spending and the use of those Title X funds would really jeopardize the entire Title X program in the state of Nebraska. So why do you think that, this issue has really kind of blown up in the media when all that we're trying to do here is ensure that there's some accountability and actual separation of the funds that is supposed to be the requirement already?
Right. I mean, you are absolutely accurate. And I encourage all of your listeners to go actually read an auditor's report and read this particular report, because the state auditor in an objective fashion, so not with political motivation, stated in his findings that this increased use of federal funds and non-compliance of these federal funds in accordance to federal regulations could jeopardize the entire Title X program. And the agency did not dispute that finding. So It does seem relatively common sense that this would be an important legislative step forward to protect that vital program of Title 10 to providing important healthcare services to vulnerable Nebraskans. I think what we're seeing here really is the protection of an organization that commits abortion. And so we're seeing the absolute pushback on protecting and then possibility protecting the fungibility or the use of these funds, subsidizing and underwriting organizations that perform abortions. And it is fairly common sense. To my mind, it's something that we as good Nebraskans who are always good stewards of both our state and federal dollars would see as a straightforward and common sense approach. Unfortunately, there continues to be a very vocal contingent which really aggressively wants to ensure that any subsidies and any underwriting of the facilities and the operations that are in contradiction to Nebraska's pro-life values continue to maintain their eligibility for federal dollars.
Well, Senator, you articulated that very well, and I think it's quite appalling when you consider that right now in the state of Nebraska, the number one recipient of these Title X funds are abortion providers, and the governor has described this as saying that Nebraska is a pro-life state and our budget should reflect those values. And I know you're very passionate about this issue as well and want to make sure that we're being responsible with our tax dollars. Why is this issue so important to you as well?
Well, I represent a very rural district in the south central part of Nebraska. So I represent counties with communities that include, you know, Red Cloud, Superior, Clay Center, Sutton, Holdridge, Minden. And the Title X funds and the Title X program is a very important program in our rural communities. And so anything that jeopardizes the viability of those important Title X funds and may potentially restrict or reduce the access of my constituents to these very vital services is important to me and important to my district. The almost carelessness that was identified in the auditor's report with regard to accounting for these funds and the agencies that were audited is one appalling, but also puts again in jeopardy that very important program for my constituents. The state auditor in their sampling found a 98% failure rate in auditing of the financial records of these organizations. And we simply cannot tolerate that. Nebraskans demand better of their state government, and they certainly demand better with regard to the responsible use of our funds in accordance and in alignment with their pro-life values.
Senator, when can we expect to see this budget advance from committee? And are you confident that this pro-life Title X language assuring separation of these funds from abortion will remain intact?
Well, right now we're going to be winding up this week our public hearings in the budget process, and then we go into executive session, and we should be advancing the budget bills to the floor during the first week of March. So I think your listeners should certainly keep their ears tuned the last week of February and that first week of March for the final budget being advanced to the floor. I would like to say that I have absolute confidence that the committee is going to continue its full support for this important language in protecting this program and protecting unborn Nebraskans. That said, I do have concerns that there are a few senators who are wavering because of the public controversy that has been ginned up surrounding this issue. So I encourage your listeners to get engaged, to contact all members of the committee, and really make sure that their voices are heard in the coming weeks to underscore the need for this important pro-life language so that it stays in the budget. It's currently in our preliminary budget, and that language needs to remain in the budget as we advance it to the floor.
Well, for listeners who do want to be engaged on this issue, they can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and get that information. This is a really important issue. And we're talking about accountability, Senator, I also wanted to ask about another bill that you have introduced that deals with accountability, and that is the idea of creating a legislative ethics board, which right now the Nebraska legislature doesn't really have of any kind. Why did you bring this bill, and why do you feel that it's so important for the legislature to adopt?
Well, I think it's an important concept for us to discuss as a legislature, in part because we as elected representatives should hold ourselves to a higher standard than the people that we represent. And every Nebraskan goes to work, sends their children to schools that all have clear, defined codes of ethics, codes of conduct, and codes of responsibility. And I do not believe that there should even be the perception that Nebraska legislators or staff employed by the legislature operate by a different set of rules or are above the same expectations that are had by every Nebraskan in their workplace, in their schools, and in their communities. So I introduced the bill to really bring to the forefront a discussion which has been had in a number of venues over every year in my time in the legislature regarding ethical conduct. What is the expectations of ethical conduct? How do we investigate and protect both the due process as well as protect individuals who may feel that there has been a violation of ethical conduct? So I think it's an important issue that we continually talk about in an open and public forum to build public trust in our government and in our legislative institution.
Well, Senator Keene, I also know that you have continued to be a very strong voice and defender of conservative values and our foundational principles that Nebraskans hold so dear. And I think it would be interesting for listeners to know from your perspective just how under assault are some of these conservative values and principles, even here in Nebraska.
I think it's easy to become complacent in our homes and in our communities and in our congregations about assuming that the rest of Nebraska and the world at large understands and shares our values of commitment, of openness, of transparency, of personal responsibility, of civic engagement, and of community-mindedness, among others. I've certainly seen through my time and service in the legislature that there are a number of individuals who not only don't share our values, but see values of community, personal responsibility, and accountability as a threat. And we'll must continue to be vigilant, both within our families, but also and continue to be engaged in our communities and in the political process. We're not always going to win, but we certainly, by being present and being engaged in the process, are going to make sure our voices are heard and that those important values continue to be at the forefront of the policy process. As government shapes and affects everything that touches almost every aspect of our lives in modern society.
And Senator, how can Nebraskans who also care deeply about these pro-life and family values help you and other senators in your efforts to safeguard these values in our Nebraska legislature?
First and foremost, pray for us. We need all the prayers and all of that support that we can get from people across Nebraska. Even more important on a day-to-day basis is stay informed. Wherever your trusted source of information is, stay informed, listen, understand. And when something strikes your mind or heart that doesn't seem consistent with the values that you hold dear or your values of your community, take that moment to make that call, write that email, and stay engaged in the process. It doesn't require a big time commitment, doesn't require travels necessarily to Lincoln, although all of that is great and important to do. But sometimes simply picking up the phone, writing that email, having your voice heard as an informed citizen is essential to making sure that we continue to keep these values and issues at the forefront of Nebraska government.
Senator Keene, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today and for your work and service in the Nebraska legislature. I know our appreciation for you is shared by many.
Thank you.
For more information on the latest happenings from the Nebraska unicameral and the status of bills that affect you and your family, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Check out the bill tracker, providing information on the most important pieces of legislation affecting family, freedom, and life. And get all the information on Title 10, what it is, how it works, and most importantly, how you can help make a difference here in the state of Nebraska to defend unborn life. And one of these very important bills that we're monitoring was heard in the Health and Human Services Committee last week, LB 1040 from State Senator Joni Albright, which is really an amazing, unique bill that would really be quite historic by providing the option for women and families to request a special commemorative birth certificate for miscarriages that occur prior to 20 weeks gestation. Currently, families can request a birth certificate for a stillbirth if it occurs at or after 20 weeks, but there is no sort of acknowledgement or recognition of any kind if the pregnancy is lost prior to 20 weeks. And right now, only one other state in the country, Florida, who just adopted something similar last year, they started offering a special new type of birth certificate between 9 and 20 weeks gestation. But the bill, LB 1040 from Senator Albright, would make this available to Nebraskans at any point in pregnancy. So this is really an incredible opportunity to help grieving families to acknowledge these precious lives that are lost, and finally acknowledge these children that existed and were loved, and help provide that validation and acknowledgement to the families who are suffering, often silently and feeling so alone. So this is something that would be pretty amazing to see happen, to actually have an official state-issued certificate acknowledging that life and that loss for the families. And it was a very emotional and powerful hearing. There were a number of moms who stepped forward to share their stories of loss and grief, and just how perfect their babies were and that they mattered. Their lives mattered, and they deserve to be recognized. The Nebraska State Hospital Association supported the bill. There was no opposition, so there is a very strong chance that this could become a reality and make this new type of commemorative birth certificate available to women and families who lose a pregnancy prior to 20 weeks. So we will keep you updated as that bill continues to progress, as well as other pieces of legislation that are working their way through the Nebraska legislature. And you can find that information and more over at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, as well as how you can help advance family, freedom, and life here in Nebraska. I want to close the show today by playing a clip of Vice President Mike Pence, who responded last week to criticism from ABC's The View, in which his Christian faith was relentlessly mocked and even called a mental illness. That's how Joy Behar described Mike Pence's faith, and described as a mental illness because he talks to Jesus. And then another host even chimed in, saying it's a dangerous situation when you have Mike Pence calling people values voters. This was really anti-Christian bigotry at its finest, but the vice president responded, and I think he gets it exactly right.
I heard that ABC has a program that compared my Christianity to mental illness. And I'd like to laugh about it, but I really can't. I mean, Mike, I'm a believer. Like tens of millions of Americans today will have ash on their foreheads to mark the beginning of Lent. Overwhelming majority of Americans cherish their faith. And we have all different types of faith in this country. But I have to tell you, to have ABC maintain a broadcast forum that compared Christianity to mental illness is just wrong. And it's an insult not to me, but to the vast majority of the American people who, like me, cherish their faith. I mean, my Christianity is the most important thing in my life. I try and start every day by opening the good book. My wife and I try and have a prayer together before I leave every morning. I can honestly tell you my faith sustains me in all that I do. And it's just a regular part of our lives. But I'm not unusual. I think I'm a very typical American. Whatever your faith tradition, people understand that. But I just think it demonstrates how out of touch some in the mainstream media are with the faith and values of the American people, that you could have a major network like ABC permit a forum for invective against religion.
That was Vice President Mike Pence responding to criticism from The View last week, calling his faith a mental illness. ABC is continuing to rightfully face mounting criticism over this, and ultimately, I think the vice president is exactly right. Millions of Americans do cherish their faith. It's what sustains them. It's what sustains us at Nebraska Family Alliance. And that's why we fight every day to protect and defend religious freedom here in Nebraska and the United States. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join the movement to help restore the foundation of our country, the family. I'm your host, Nate Graz, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.